Welcome to Change by Attraction, because you don't have to push, prod, persuade, or punish people to create change in your organization. I'm your host, Esther Derby.
I had a long conversation with a guy, I'll call him Dan, who had a pretty good idea that he was on his way out the door. He'd been hired onto a team with the expectation that he raised the general level of technical skills of that team. And from a technical perspective, he was really well equipped to do that. But it wasn't going so well. In fact, the team had pretty much ostracized him. The day he started, he gave a lesson on test-driven development. The next day, he rolled up his chair to a teammate's desk and suggested they review his code together. He gave people tips, he gave them pointers, he gave them little lessons. One of the team members was overheard muttering, "Who made him king?" By the time I'd talked to him, he knew things weren't going well. Now, his manager, the one who hired him, bore some responsibility for the situation, because he hired the guy with an expectation he'd be a teacher and coach, but he didn't tell the other team members. He hadn't told them that he viewed their technical skills as deficient. The team clearly didn't want Dan's help. He wasn't accomplishing what he'd been hired to do, and frankly, he was pretty miserable. He doubted, and I did too, that he could turn the situation around. He was ready to chalk it up to experience and move on. Now, Dan's experience isn't unique. I've seen this happen a number of times with a number of different people and a number of different companies. But it doesn't have to be that way. Even without the manager undercutting his role by not letting the team know that he was there to improve technical skills, he still could have been successful had he approached the situation in a different way. Instead of inflicting his help on people who really didn't want it, he could have worked by attraction. Here's the thing about help. To ask for help or to accept help, you have to admit, at least momentarily, that you are not entirely self-sufficient or entirely competent. In cultures that are highly individualistic and put a super amount of emphasis on competence and being the best, hiring the best, that can be risky. And from a personal perspective, to do so, to ask for help, can make you feel like your status takes a little ding, like, you know, maybe you're not as good as other people. So, by inflicting help, whether Dan meant to or not, the message came through that he viewed his teammates as less capable and he down-statused them. So what could Dan have done, or what could you do as a team member, a team coach, a manager? What could you do to get your ideas put into practice without inflicting help? When people want to try your ideas, you don't have to inflict them on people or push them on people or persuade people to try them out. You'll be working in partnership. So how do you do it? Here are four things to pay attention to. First, enter the group before you offer help. Second, start with something the team cares about, not your own agenda or the manager who hired you's agenda. Three, go with the energy. And four, reciprocate. So don't just offer to help, ask for help. Okay, let's go. Start by entering the group. Let's face it. Few people love having someone new come in and telling them they've been doing things wrong. If you're new to the group, take a little time to get to know people and to be known by them. Even if you have position authority as a manager, a coach, or part of a change management team. On one level, this is just basic respect. Form a relationship before you start telling people what to do and change how they're doing things. But it's also about building trust. If people don't know you, they have little reason to trust you unless they know you by reputation, that somebody they know and respect has said you're a competent person and you're worth listening to. However, when people know that you're competent and they know you generally have their interests in mind, and they've seen your day-to-day decisions and your day-to-day interactions, they're much more likely to listen to what you have to say. Pay attention to what's working well. It might be a technical practice, the way they handle pairing, the way they help each other, how they raise problems. Notice that. Find out how the team got to that place. There's always something. Think about how to build on that. They may be super close to doing something really well and only need a new idea or a little tweak. Like a really small, tiny tweak.
It might be just working on one item out of the retrospective instead of trying to do 5 or 6. That will let them succeed.
In addition to getting to know them as people, get to know what their challenges are. What are they struggling with? As a newcomer, you may not be aware of all of the organizational impediments that they're facing. They had a life before you got there. Get to know something about it. And while you're getting to know them, they'll be getting to know you.
While you're observing and learning and listening, you'll also be interacting and participating and doing work. And pretty soon, you're no longer that newcomer busybody telling them what to do. You're one of them. And they have some measure of who you are and what you're about.
If they believe you are professionally competent and have good intentions towards them, you probably have their trust. So now you've gotten to know the group and they've gotten to know you, and you have some idea about how they work and what challenges they have. Now you may be able to do something to fix something or make an improvement that they see as valuable. Not your agenda, not the manager's agenda, something that matters to the team. So why do I advise waiting before wading in? Even if you see something that to you seems blindingly obvious, hold off for a bit. Solving a problem that other people haven't been able to crack may make you look smart, but it doesn't usually help if you do so at the expense of making other people feel dumb. So you're down-statusing them. So wait a little bit, bide your time, and start with something that they care about. When you help with something that the team cares about, you're demonstrating that you get them, that you've listened and paid attention, that you care, and that you're smart. And this is helpful even if the problem that you are helping them with, that you're helping them solve, isn't on the direct path, technically or organizationally, from the perspective that you came in to help with. It's on the direct path from a relationship standpoint. So now you can start inserting some new ideas. And the key here is to go with the energy. Work with the people who want to try something new. You don't have to convince everyone. You can start with one other person who has the energy to work on whatever the new idea is. And actually, you don't even have to convince one person. You can model the change you want to make. A friend of mine wanted to get his team to try using a Kanban board to better manage their work and understand how things were flowing through their team. But he didn't try to talk anybody into it. He just started a personal Kanban board. He posted it where other people could see it, in his cube. Now, you can't do that now, but you could put it where people would see it when your webcam was turned on. And pretty soon, someone asked a question about it. He gave a little explanation of how it helped him. He didn't give a lecture about the theory, he just, you know, talked about why he was doing it and how it helped him. And his team member decided to try it. And he also found it valuable. So two people had found it useful, and others noticed, and they got curious about how it helped. And from there, it wasn't such a big leap to suggest that the team try a Kanban board. So it's super easy to get into arguments about whether something is a good idea or not in the abstract. But when you demonstrate success, it's much, much harder to have that argument. If whether something is a good idea does come up, one way to deal with that is to frame it as an experiment. Say, okay, let's try it for 2 months and see how it works. Or let's try it your way for a while, then let's try it this way for a while, and then we'll compare. In general, arguing your way to a change isn't a great strategy, though I see a lot of people try it. You may win the argument and damage the relationship. If people give in because they're sick of being browbeaten, it's not actually a victory. You may get compliance, at least on the surface, but there's a cost. You've down-statused everyone, you've damaged relationships. And if you lose the argument, you've down-statused yourself, and you may look foolish. Now, I know some people who love to argue. For them, it's fun. And if it's fun for you and the other people involved, go ahead and have fun. But don't confuse it with the strategy for change. Before you offer help, ask for help. This establishes the basis for reciprocity. And in fact, especially if you're new, you don't know everything. There's bound to be some area where other people know stuff you need to know about. It might be the code base. It might be how the architecture got to be the way it is. It might be some manual that you need to find or some document that explains something. Just, it doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to admit abject ignorance, just that you are a human and that you don't know everything. Asking for a small favor tees up reciprocity. It makes the help mutual. And that is deeply ingrained in many cultures, the idea of reciprocity with help. In fact, great teamwork looks like continuous mutual help. People ask for help, they offer help, and since it's reciprocated, it doesn't disturb the status sphere. It's not a matter of being permanently up-statused or down-statused. And you can insert a lot of new ideas just by helping. Next time you want the team or group you work with to do something different, whether you have a good idea or whether you actually have a charter to make improvements with this group, consider how you can work by attraction. Don't try to persuade people, don't push people, don't inflict help. Just get them interested in your idea and see how they take it up. You may spend more time up front, but you'll spend less time arguing, and you'll build stronger relationships and get your ideas put into practice, which might be more important than appearing smart. So what happened to Dan? He did end up leaving. He really felt he couldn't rebuild things, and I think he might have felt a little ashamed at his behavior once he realized that he had unintentionally been down-statusing people and inflicting help on them. But it wasn't a complete failure because he really learned from it. On his next job, there was a lot of room for technical improvement. But he took it slow, and he took it easy, and he got to know people. And then he got a lot done. If this topic was interesting to you or something you think would be useful to explore, shoot me an email at esther@esterderby.com. I'd love to chat. Till next time.
Thanks for listening. You'll find references and links mentioned in the episode at changebyattraction.simplecast.com. Check out my website and blog at www.esterderby.com. You'll find lots of articles about change, and you can sign up for my newsletter there. If you enjoyed the podcast, please let your friends know and rate it on Simplecast or wherever you get your podcasts.